It's sure great to see you today. Thank you very much for making Azalea City your choice of places to worship this morning. As was mentioned earlier, if you're visiting with us, we want you to know how special you are to us. We thank you for making the decision to come our way. Please let us have the privilege to get to know you a little bit better. But also, if you're our members here, please know how special you are as well. One of our members here, I just was handed a note, and it's a scary but good note. Scary that this happened, but it ended well, or is going to end well. But Justin Brewer, Justin and Emily, you know, they are children of Jimmy and Karen. Justin was working, I believe, with his friend's Bronco yesterday. Is this right? Am I saying it right, Jimmy? Where are you? Okay. Yesterday? Wow. And they were working on it in a garage, and when it was cranked, the Bronco was in gear, and Justin was in front of it. So the Bronco hit Justin and pinned him, ran him through the wall, and then ran over him. But Jimmy wrote here, he is stitched, he is stapled, and super glued back together, but he is going to be okay. Praise God for that. I tell you, that's terrible. Boy, that is a scary, scary moment. But Justin is a great, great guy. Their whole family's great. And he probably was leading the charge on that game Friday night, wasn't he, Justin? But anyhow, please remember Justin, Emily, and all their family in your prayers. I want to take your minds back to what Seth just read to us in Joel chapter 3. I love this section of Scripture. I love this passage here. I think it's very powerful, and Seth read it very powerfully, and I appreciate that. But Joel there writes, "Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong." This section of Scripture is so powerful, but it's exactly what I would love for us to understand about ourselves today. Get prepared for war, people. Wake up, people. We are at war. The devil, I don't know how he works. I don't know if he sleeps. I don't understand all of that, okay? That's beyond my grasp of the spiritual realm with him, okay? But here's what I know. Just to use it in what we can understand, say, he woke up this morning ready to attack. And chances are he's attacked some. You know, we are down some from last week. We still have a good crowd here. I'm glad you're here. But last week, busting at the seams. This week, hey, what happened in the week? I don't know. Maybe some are sick. Maybe some are working. Maybe some went out of town. Maybe there are legit reasons, but chances are he won some battles this morning and some people just slept in. Chances are he won some battles this morning and some people decided, hey, it's too cold to get out. Crazy weather around here. Maybe some decided, hey, last night was a late night, and we need to, you know, we let our kids go this and that and everything, and we just need to rest and recuperate today. We need a Sunday fun day. I don't know. But here's what I do know. If we're not careful, he can get all of us. That's why renewed, Jason prayed for it. Help us to be renewed today. With this message, with this thought, I hope that we will, that when we are renewed, we are waking up. See, we're preparing for war. We're preparing for battle. We need to take our plowshares and beat it. Remember, iron sharpens iron, right? We need to beat it so that we can have our weapons, so that we can be ready. And let's wake up those mighty men and women so that we can go out into this world and turn this world upside down for Jesus Christ. Because that's what our mission is today. Our mission is not just to be here and check our name off the roll. Our mission is to go into the world and make a difference. We are here to make a difference for the kingdom of our God, to bring glory and honor to His name. I'm not saying that we're going out today and trying to pick a fight with somebody spiritually. I'm saying we're going head to head with the devil and win souls over from him to Jesus Christ. That's our mission. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, if you turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, we're going to see something we talked about not that long ago. There was a church that was living but dead. The church of the living dead, if you will. Revelation 3, beginning in 1. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Sardis. This is the message from the one who has the sevenfold spirit of God and the seven stars. I know all the things you do and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Wake up! I love that. Wake up! Jesus Christ, right? Wake up! Strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly, as unexpected as a thief. Yet there are some in the church in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes with evil. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. All who are victorious will be clothed in white. I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I will announce before my Father and the angels that are mine, that they are mine. Anyone with ears to hear, let him hear, must listen and understand what he is saying to the churches. I love that version because it tells us several times by Jesus Christ, wake up. Now, let me say from the outset, I don't believe we have a church that's dying at all. I believe we have a church that's alive. I believe we have a church that's active. I believe we have a church that's on fire for Jesus Christ. But there, chances are there are some here that maybe individually you've lost some of that spark. You've lost some of that zeal. You've lost some of that excitement, or maybe you haven't even experienced it yet. And so we're walking around and we're going to church and we are the church and I'm alive, but really I'm dead. That can happen. And that's a scary place to be. Because if that is you today, then Jesus Christ's words needs to ring true to you and to me and to everybody. It's time to wake up. It's time to be renewed. It's time to have that awakening. Now I want to ask you physically, how'd you sleep last night? That was a long introduction to get to that question, wasn't it? How'd you sleep last night? I hope you slept well. I slept very well. First night in several, and maybe it was just because of this sermon, who knows. But first night in several nights, man, I slept all through the night. Was able to breathe last night. I don't know if the pollen died out a little bit over the night. Anyhow, it was a great night's sleep. But as hard as I slept, and as hard as you slept, chances are you didn't sleep that well. I mean, can you believe that? That was my little girl. She was a baby. Madeline, you remember that? That is a good night's sleep right there, my friends. One of my favorite pictures of Madeline of all time. But you know, sometimes we sleep so hard that no matter how much the alarm clock goes off spiritually, we just can't get up. No matter how many warning signs God puts in our lives, we just can't get up. Well, let me tell you, there was a friend of mine at Fortner University. Well, he really wasn't a friend. I don't even know his name. So scratch all that. But he did go to Fortner, at least for a little while. We had three roommates. My friend, who was my roommate, I knew he was going to be my roommate. We were friends, and then they added a third person in. Well, me and my friend that were roommates, we talked, you know, before we got to Fortner and all that, and you know, hey, I'm going to bring this, and I'm going to bring this, and everything. And you know, he'd get up and go to his class, I'd get up. But this other guy they stuck in there, he snored louder than anybody on the planet. And then his alarm would blare. And I'm not talking about, it's time to wake up. It's like, you know, and he wouldn't wake up. He wouldn't wake up. And finally, my friend had enough of it one day and went and snatched that thing out of the wall and kicked his bed. Get up. And once they moved him out of his room, we never saw him again. But the point is, sometimes that's us. There's alarms blaring. There's warning signs all around. And it could take dynamite to go off, and we still wouldn't wake up. Well, if you've not heard anything else that I've said throughout my years of preaching here today, is it's not time to keep setting alarms. It's not time to keep hitting snooze. Maybe some of y'all's phones look like that. You may not be able to see it, but it's got a 5:55, a 6, a 6:05, a 6:10, a 6:20, a 6:30, and a 6:45 wake-up call. I'm telling you right now, now's the time to wake up. Now's the time to open our eyes. Now's the time to be renewed. Now's the time. What does it take to wake us up, right? What does it take to wake us up? Whether we've slept hard, whether we've lived hard, whether we've sinned hard, whatever it may be, today's the day we need to wake up. Peter had one of those moments. He had an awakening, if you will. And this was his alarm clock. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 26. In just a moment, we're going to be there. But as you're thinking about Peter, I want you to remember his life. What a great life he lived, you know? I mean, he was called to be a disciple. We've talked about that this year. Jesus is calling us. He's calling us to serve. He's calling us out of the world. He's calling us to follow him. Peter and the rest of the disciples, they did just that. Peter left his nets. He walked away from it so that he could be a disciple of our Lord. He walked with the man. He talked with the man. He served with the man. He was there with the man. And then one day, guess what? He was best friends with him. But when it was all said and done, Peter denied him. Peter didn't do what he was supposed to do. Peter didn't live the way he was supposed to live. Peter said that he would never deny Jesus Christ, didn't he? He said, I'll never deny you. He said, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And Jesus said, no, there's a wake-up call coming. There's an alarm coming your way, and it's going to be, you're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. You're going to deny me 3 different times, but then there's going to be a rooster that crows. A cock-a-doodle-doo, if you will, right? That wakes you up. The question today is, if it's you and me, what's our rooster? What's our wake-up call? You see, sometimes in our lives, we're kind of like this. We're sleeping wide awake. That poor little girl, she woke up one morning early for school. I don't know her, by the way. She's not my child. But she woke up early for school or whatever it was that day. Mama got her up, got her to the table. She's going to eat some toast or whatever that is, maybe a peanut butter sandwich, and she falls right asleep in it. She was wide awake, but she fell asleep. Well, in Luke chapter 9, we have these words, beginning in verse 28. About 8 days later, Jesus took Peter, John, and James up on a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was transformed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, 2 men, Moses and Elijah, appeared and began talking with Jesus. They were glorious to see, and they were speaking about his exodus from the world, which was about to be fulfilled in Jerusalem. Peter and the others had fallen asleep. What a moment, right? What a moment in time. Jesus, there's only 2 times God cries down from heaven and saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. One of them is at Jesus' baptism. The other is right here at the Transfiguration. When Jesus transfigures and it brings the old law to the new law, and they all come together right there, Moses and Elijah and Jesus Christ, and it's this remarkable scene, and he chose his best of friends. He chose James, John, and yes, He chose Peter, who we were just talking about. Peter, James, and John, I need you guys. I'm about to face the worst thing of all time. This is before He's going to Gethsemane. This is before, you know, He's going to go into the garden. That happens again. And what happens? They go to sleep. They go to sleep. One of the most remarkable moments in time, they sleep through it. Of course, as I just mentioned, there's Gethsemane in Luke 22. Jesus is going in there and it's about to be, again, the hardest moment of His life. He's about to enter that occasion when it's going to be pain and it's going to be hurt and it's going to be a lot of misery, but He's going to be separated from His Father. Let's don't miss the importance of that on His life. He's, for the first time in all of existence, think about that, Jesus Christ will be separated from His Father. Now, He's separated physically from Him on this occasion, but there's coming a point in time when physically or spiritually, when He bears our sins, that God can't look at it anymore. He can't be in the presence of sin, so He has to turn away. And that moment had to be so agonizing for our Savior. The only time it's ever happened. And He did it for you, and He did it for me, and He did it for Peter, and He did it for James, and He did it for John. And He says, hey, can you wait up with me? I've got to go and pray. He's agonizing, and He's praying in this garden. He's, after the transfiguration, they couldn't do it. Now, in this moment, they can't stay awake for Him. He says, I need you to wait up for me. Remember, He's praying, and the sweat is becoming like blood, and He's so miserable. And there they are sleeping. They were wide awake, but they couldn't hold their eyes open anymore. And I'm afraid that's sometimes us. You know what Jesus needs us to do right now? He needs us to be awake. He needs us to be alert. And He needs us to be on the lookout. I want to ask you a question. Remember our elders challenged us a little bit ago about coming to Sunday school. That means, yes, we have to get up earlier. I understand that. But what a joy. I think my class, not because of the teacher, but because of the participants, was a great class this morning. I'm guaranteeing you there was another great adult class going on because I know Johnny McDonald led that class. Okay? There are great classes happening here. What does it mean? Hey, let's sacrifice a little bit and get up, right? And come on. Well, not only that, but when we come here, yes, I want you to be challenged by the words I say. But I also want you to grow closer to God because that's why we're here, number one. I want us to build up our strength and hold on to God even harder. That's why we're here, and to stir up our love and good works. And so I'm going to challenge you, just like I'm challenging today. Let's wake up. But here's the big picture. When we leave out of here, what are we doing with it? You see, that's a question I can't answer for you. I can only answer for me. And so you've got to answer honestly for yourself, just like I've got to answer honestly for myself. Am I taking what we gather when we worship, when we study, when we pray, when we live the way am I taking it and doing anything with it? When's the last time I shared Jesus Christ? When's the last time I gave my story to somebody? I told them what Jesus has done for me. When's the last time somebody said, hey, you know, I recognize a little something different or something to that effect, and we said, let me tell you what's different about me. You see, if we're going to grow the kingdom, I can't walk around in a daze spiritually. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to fail you, and I'm going to fail our elders, and I'm going to fail my family, and I'm going to fail our God, because on occasion, all the time I'm human, and on occasion I'm going to mess up, or maybe sometimes on multiple occasions. I can't do it because by myself because I'm incapable. Our elders can't do it by themselves. We need everybody to wake up and be renewed and be alive, so that when we walk the streets of this world, we can see a lost soul and somebody that needs Jesus. And I'm not saying we go out and smack them in the face, but we go out and love them. And we go out and we remind them of the importance of following Jesus and tell them what Jesus has done for us. Jesus Christ needed Peter. He needed James and He needed John. Stay awake. Well, He needs you and He needs me. Stay awake. Don't fall asleep. Don't go through in a daze. You ever done that before? I have. You've been so tired in the morning, you get somewhere and you're like, I don't even remember getting here. I don't even remember driving here. That's scary, I know. But that's sometimes what I'm concerned about. Maybe we wake up in eternity one day and we're like, whoa, I didn't even realize I got here. We need to make sure we're doing what we need to do. Remember that rooster now. As I think about Peter, I told you to go to Matthew 26. I've gone about four different places before I got there, but I'm getting there. Here we are, Matthew 26, beginning in verse 69. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, you also were with Jesus the Galilean. You know, on the outset, that'd be a great compliment, wouldn't it? We could read that today and say, man, that'd be a great compliment. Hey, so-and-so you and so-and-so, I recognize you. You were with Jesus Christ. You've walked with Jesus. Paul said later on, I boast that in nothing except in Jesus Christ. I don't want to be known for anything. I don't want to be known for all the things I've accomplished. I want to be known that I walked with Jesus Christ. Man, what a great honor. But Peter didn't want anything to do with it. Why? Because he's spiritually walking around in a daze. At this point, he's scared. He is scared for his life. He's scared for what's going to happen. And he says, uh-uh. Not me. I do not know what you mean. I don't know Jesus the Galilean. Who is this guy? Then he goes on, verse 71. When he went out of the entrance, another servant girl saw him and said to the bystanders, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. You know, I don't know what you guys want in your life. But I'm going to tell you, that's enough for me. Hey, at the end of the day, Terry's funeral. What do we know about Terry? He walked with Jesus of Nazareth. Boy, I can live with that, can't you? Not Peter on this occasion. Mm-mm, no way. No. Not me, verse 72. He denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. After a little while the bystanders came up and said to Peter, one of the bystanders came up and said to Peter, certainly you are too one of them, for your words betray you. You sound like him. You talk like him. So Peter said, let me prove it to you. And he cursed. And he swore, I do not know the man. I've messed up, okay? I've sinned, and all sin is separation from God. And all sin makes Jesus Christ have to go through that cross scene again. And the Hebrew writer says it crucifies him anew. We need that blood to keep washing our sins, right? So I've messed up, and what I've done is equal to what Peter's done. So I don't want to say, but I'm going to tell you right now, I've never consciously said, I don't want to sound like a Christian, so I'm going to use some bad language. But that's essentially what Peter did. I don't want to sound like Jesus Christ. I don't want you to think I've been with Jesus Christ, so listen to how I'm going to curse and swear. Hey, Peter, I'm about to be transfigured. It's going to please my Father. Will you stay awake? No, Jesus, I can't do it, man. I'm too tired. Hey, Peter, I am about to go and die this death. I'm going to be separated from my Father. I need you and my friends just to stay up. I just can't do it, Jesus. Hey, Peter, I need you to stand up and do what's right. Even though I've told you you're not going to, I still need you to do it. Well, Jesus, I'm going to curse and swear and deny you three times. Okay, he is living dead. He is sleeping while he's wide awake. And then all of a sudden, here it is, the rooster crows. And he remembered. It was his wake-up call. It was his alarm clock. It was his moment, his awakening, his renewal. But he's not renewed yet. He remembered the saying of Jesus, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and he wept bitterly. I've had moments where I've wept. Moments of weeping for me has been when, yes, when I've broken God's heart, when I've needed God to really take something away, or when I've lost someone who's dear to me, I've had those moments of weeping. And maybe you have too, and you can understand what Peter's doing here. He's having this moment of crying that he's uncontrollable. He's unconsolable. And he is just miserable. But you know what? He's on the process of being awoken. He's in the process of being renewed, but he's not there yet. But along the way, he reminds us of this. We need to do a few things. Number one, we need to wake our faith up. We need to wake it up. Peter wasn't side by side with Jesus like he said he'd be. Remember he said that? He said, I'm going to walk side by side. And I mean, Malchus, you come here. Malchus comes to arrest Jesus. Bam! Swings at his head and misses. Of course, Jesus heals Malchus's ear, but he also reprimands Peter. Hey, this has to happen. I'm going to die with you, Jesus Christ. Well, he's not side by side with him now. His faith was weak. It needed to be awoken. Maybe your faith is weak. Maybe my faith is weak. We need to strengthen our faith today. Number two, we need to wake our fears up. Remember this. Peter's scared to death. He is so scared that he doesn't want them to think he has walked with Jesus, he's talked with Jesus, or he talks like him. He is willing to go back to maybe some old life and use profanity, use that sailor, use that fisherman mouth to deny that he's been with Jesus Christ. That's how afraid he is. And I want to remind you, and I want to remind me, maybe we've denied him out of fear, but God's not giving us a spirit of fear. He didn't give anybody in here a spirit of fear. If I'm afraid to stand up for Jesus Christ, then guess what? That is from Satan, not from the Savior. But then thirdly, we need to wake our focus up. Peter couldn't stay awake physically. He couldn't stay awake spiritually on this occasion. He had lost his focus. We need to understand, I'm either committed to God or I am not. I am either committed to Him or I am not. There is no part-time, such thing as part-time Christianity. You know what amazes me? And this is illustrated by some people's lives. If I based my employment on my church attendance, what would happen? I'm not talking about you, but some people would be fired. If they came to work like they came to worship, they would be unemployed. But we think, hey, I'm just fine worshiping half the Sundays a year. I'm just fine walking through the motions. I'm just fine doing what little I can do to skate by. I think it's a privilege to help our kids on our football team at Mobile Christian get stronger. It's something that's a passion of mine. I enjoy strength training. There are some that are making amazing gains. We maxed in January. We maxed out again last week. There are some that made amazing gains. There are some that made little gains. All of them made gains. But then there are some that they tell me, hey, I can't max out this week. Or I can't work out today. Guess what? They're not going to make it. They're not focused. They're not going to be stronger. Because they're not committed. They're committed when they want to be. That's not going to help them. Just like it's not going to help us spiritually to be committed when we want to be. We've got to wake up. We've got to be renewed. Now let me close with Peter again. And it's John 21. I told you, after this rooster crows, it's his wake-up call, but he's not there yet. Okay? Jesus goes on, of course, and he resurrects himself from the grave. What a miracle. He raises himself from the grave. Overcoming death, overcoming sin, we can praise him today because of that great event, right? But then he appears back. You know, that Mary believes he's the gardener, and of course he says, Mary, and she understands who he is. He says, hey, I want you to do something for me. Terry's words now, okay? This is the way I'm going to present it to you. He says, hey, Mary, I need you to do something for me. I need you to go get all of my disciples. Judas is, we know what happened to Judas, okay? But all the other 10, he says, he lumps them together. He says, I want you to go get my disciples. He says, hey, I want you to get Peter. He didn't say Matthew, Bartholomew. He didn't say any of those, Nathaniel, Philip, Andrew. He didn't say any of those guys, right? He said, go get my disciples and Peter. Now, wait a minute. Is Peter no longer a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, I think he did that because when Mary went back, this is my opinion, she said, hey, disciples, Jesus is alive. He's resurrected. He wants to be with you again. And Peter says, oh, no, he didn't want to be with me. He didn't want to be with me. You see, the last thing I did is I denied him. I wasn't there when I needed to be. And Mary says, oh, no, Peter. He called you by name. He called me? The wretched sinner that I am? And remember when he's out fishing, maybe he's still miserable. He hadn't gotten over it. I don't know anything else to do. I'm going to go fishing. That's what I used to do. I know fishing. Let's go fishing. And you remember Jesus comes to have breakfast with him. And you can see the scene. Hey, Peter! I'm here! Peter didn't wait on the sails, the winds to pick up. He took off his outer garment. He jumped in the water. He swam to Jesus Christ. And of course, there's that wonderful scene where he asked him 3 times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He said, Peter, I need you. Peter, yes, there's been moments you've been asleep. There's been moments when you've been living but dead. There's been moments when you've been awake but asleep. He said, but Peter, you remember, and I'm going to reference it Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, when I gave you the keys to the kingdom, well, Peter, it's time to wake up because I need you to unlock the doors. And in Acts chapter 2, he did just that. When they thought those disciples, those apostles were drunk, Peter stood up and he said, oh, let me assure you, my friends, we're not drunk. And he goes on and he preaches Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, the resurrection. And in the middle of that sermon, they stop him and they say, what do we need to do? You know what he said? Terry's words again. Of course, he said, repent and be baptized. But he said, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. It's time to turn from all your sins. And it's time to be immersed in water for the remission of your sins and also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if he was right here in 2019, he'd say, and if you're subject to invitation, come right now. Well, 3,000 of them did. And they were saved from that perverse and crooked generation. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and the breaking of bread. They took their possessions and they sold it and they gave it to those who had need. They ate their food with simplicity of heart. They found favor with God and man, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved, all because Peter woke up. Today, what can happen if we wake up? We can turn this world upside down. Today, if I could stand before you and give you a little bit of Peter, I would say this. It's time to be saved from this crooked and perverse generation. It's time to repent. It's time to be baptized. And it's time to wake up. And let's do it right now. Together, we stand and sing.